Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody doing today? All praises be to the Most High Yah. What a wonderful day it is, the first day of the week. Really enjoyed that class yesterday. You know, it's not often that I say that, but I mean, it was really a good class yesterday. All praises be to Yah. And, you know, just waiting for the, you know, the Most High to deliver. All praises be to his name. I think we got somebody on the free conference call number. If somebody could call that number and let them know we're on the radio show, they dialed the wrong number. Because I can't do that. If I do that, I'm going to hang up from here. If someone can call the free conference call number and let them know we're on the radio show and give them the phone number, I would appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Yes, what a blessing it is. All praise, all praises be to the Most High Yah. Yes, indeed. Brother Uriah, how you liked the class yesterday? I didn't hear you say too much yesterday. You was kind of quiet. What did you think about that class yesterday? Are you on here? I saw him talk his number. Maybe I didn't. Mm-hmm. That was really good yesterday. Maybe he on the conference call. Okay, I think they hung up. All right, thank you so much for calling in, letting them know. You know that we're on the radio show tonight. There's so many people that have come back to the Nation of Yehuda, especially since the mandates and the shots and stuff. If somebody can hear me, please push 1 so I know you can hear me. Anybody can hear me, please push 1. I won't call on you, I promise. If you can hear me out there, please push 1. I don't see nobody pushing 1. Okay, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. Thank you, thank you. Appreciate that. I just want to make sure you guys can hear me. All praises be to his high and holy name. Yes, ma'am. You know, yesterday is one of them days where you read the Bible over and over and over and over again, and you just never expect to see what you saw yesterday. You just don't never expect to see that. You know, and it was right there hiding in plain sight. I'm like, wow. That's why, you know, everybody's talking about, oh, the book been tampered with. It's got too much of that kind of stuff in it for people to really come up with that and say that the book been tampered with. It's just too much. It's too many nuggets that he done threw in there. You know what I mean? To let you know, that he's still in there. And you're going to find some stuff that you, where you could say, wow. You know, so I just was really excited about that when I finally seen it. And have the opportunity to show you all. Well, it's just been an honor and a privilege. Because, man, I'm telling you. And this is how you get to know Yah. You know, we've lost a few people, you know, and that's good. We still love everybody. We don't want nobody to think we don't love them no more. We still love them. And, you know, like I said, we would never ever tell anybody that they had to leave the Nation of Yehuda, you know, but if you feel like it's time, you know, there's nothing we can do about that, you know, but we thank Yah for you, you know, and the time that we have had to spend together, and we just keep doing what we're doing, you know, because we're going to all leave together at the same time if the Most High see fit to allow us to live through that. You know, we're going to all be together at the same time doing what we need to do to get out of here. And that's the beautiful part about it, you know. Nobody, no man will be left behind. That's a beautiful thing to know that, because a lot of people was worried about their families, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And we don't have to worry about that no more, because he said no man will be left behind. He's not leaving one person in these lands. You know, so hallelujah, all praise be to the Most High. Wow, look at all the people on here. Shalom, everybody. Shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom. Yes, indeed. All right, so I need somebody to push 1 so we can talk, because I don't want to be talking to myself all day. Somebody about something. Everybody, anybody, somebody, everybody push 1. And let me know how you doing today and what you thought about the class yesterday if you was on it. And did you get it or you didn't get it? Was it hard for you to see it or you didn't see it? We want to hear what you have to say, because, oh, that was off the chain yesterday. All praises be to the high holy name, Israel. You know. I know the ladies was on there. The ladies was talking, but y'all men was kind of quiet yesterday. I'm like, well, why they ain't saying nothing? You know? What happened? How, Hallelujah. All praises be to the Most High, Yah. Yes, indeed. I have something that I want to share with you, though, that I was talking about yesterday, and I wanted you guys to be able to hear how the other nations are bringing in the teachings that we have and how they're putting them, you know, to work to make it sound plausible for everybody who's listening, you know. And I want to get that up. But I don't really have a whole lot to talk about today because we talked about everything yesterday. You know, I don't want to keep talking about the mandate, the shot, you know, because people doing what they doing to make it through the shot, you know, to doing what they doing to keep their jobs. You know, I believe we should wait on Yah, but, you know, some people feel like they have to do other things, you know. And I don't want to knock it, you know. So, I don't know how you guys feel about that, but, you know, how do you feel about that? Should we take matters into our own hands, or should we wait on the Most High? Or, I mean, you know, because it's easy to say that when your job ain't on the line. Do you think we should take matters into our own hands or wait on Yah? You know, and if that means changing jobs, do you think that maybe it's time to do that? You know, that all things work together for the good to them who love Yah and are the called according to his purpose. You know, do we really believe what we read? Because it's difficult. Like I said, when it's not your job on the line, it's a difficult choice to make. You know, it tests the very fabric of what you believe, you know. It really does. It tests the very fabric of what you believe and who you believe, you know, because you just getting that check every 2 weeks. You are. And I understand that. I really do. I get it. I understand that, you know, and how do you give faith to people when that kind of stuff is on the line? Can you do it? Can we really give people faith? You know, don't everybody push one at once, you know. You think that we can give people faith, you know, because everybody looking at me like, okay, y'all ain't know what we supposed to do. Because, I mean, this is my job. I've been here for 14 years. You know, what am I supposed to do? You know. So, you know, and all I can tell you is trust Yah. I can't tell you do nothing else other than trust him. You know, and I know some people, like I said, some people have come up with different solutions and different things and, you know, alternatives and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I can't support that, but hey, who am I? You know, I have to tell people what's right, the right thing to do. And this is when it's difficult for me as well as you, you know, because I have to tell you what's right. And sometimes that's a difficult thing to do. You know, because like I said, at the end of the day, you used to that check coming in every couple of weeks, and they threatening people. And the way they doing this now is they said while they're considering your religious exemption, you will be on a no-pay status. How is that right? You know? So they are really forcing people's hands, I'm telling you. They really are. And they've not honored that Title VII thing anyway, because, you know, when we keep the Sabbath, you know, they'll tell you in a minute, this is what you signed up for. You have to work on Saturday. I'm like, wow, you know, crucial. It just is what it is. It's very difficult. And you know, like I said, these are the hard times, you know, when we have to be able to say, you know, this is how we're going to do this, and this is the way you should do it. And you have to stay in prayer. You really do. You got to stay in prayer. You know, and it's hard. Believe me, I know. You know, like I told you, when it was me and I was going through it, everybody was doing all kind of stuff to save their houses and lying on paperwork and doing all kind of stuff. And, you know, I thought about it. I did, but I couldn't do it anyway because I had no income. So I had to tell the truth. And, you know, I lost my stuff while everybody's still living in there today. And it was very difficult to watch that. But I'm glad I did it the way I did it. I'm glad now that I look back on it and I did it the way I did it. I mean, you know, that's just the way it was. You know, so that's really something, you know, that we have to look out for. But I just know and believe that that Yah will make a way. He will. He'll make a way. You know, anybody want to push one? You want to conversate with me? I don't want to talk to myself all day. I would love to talk to somebody. I love the fact that you guys come every week and listen every week. But can somebody talk to me? I would love to have a conversation with somebody. You know. I mean, even about the class yesterday. Did you think that class was too deep yesterday, or you didn't get it, or what was it? I mean, did you understand what we were saying yesterday? You know. So, I mean, you know, sometimes, like I said, sometimes it gets to be a bit much. It really does. You know, but we have to give it to you the way he give it to us. And it's above some people's pay grade, but we got to keep doing it because those are the things that we see. And it was just a beautiful thing. And the more we learn, the more we understand. The more we learn, the more we understand the dynamics that's in with the children of Israel. That for me, yesterday really verified the fact that everybody that say they Israel ain't Israel, even though they look like us. You know, everybody that say they Israel ain't. I think the scary part is that they didn't know who they were. That they thought they was Israel. Well, you know, I don't even want to mess with that because they very well could have been. Guess what? If you really want to take it a step further, they could have been a part of the two-thirds that was left there. We just really don't know. Because when that system brought that out, about one-third is going to make it and two-thirds is going to be cut off down here, that one-third has to fulfill a complete circle, so it's got to be two-thirds up there. If that makes sense. And see, this takes you to a whole nother level. You know, every time you think that you have arrived to the point where you understand, the Most High has to take you to a whole nother level just to get you ready for the supernatural. He got to take you there. You know, because how many times did he say in the word, you don't even know the power of Yah. You know, and we really don't. And I think that it scares a lot of people because they have brought all of this down to an earthly level that they don't understand that these are beings that are very intelligent. They have power from Yah. And this world, this natural world, there's a supernatural world that is very prevalent and living live and in color. That's deep. And I think that's the hardest part for a lot of people to deal with is the supernatural power of the Most High and the things that he's able to do, you know what I'm saying, beyond our mental comprehension. Because who ever would have thought that these beings was made to be like men? Because they weren't human. That's some deep stuff right there. I mean, to me anyway. I mean, some people may not have even believed it. They might, I don't know if I could go with them. That's some deep stuff to me, you know. But, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I think the women enjoyed it more so than the men did because the men didn't say too much. They were just kind of, I think they was back there trying to process it all. Like, wait a minute, let me think about this here. You know, because it's a lot to think about. But if we are humans on our way to a supernatural existence, then they could have definitely done it in the reverse, because that's the power of Yah. And like she said yesterday, if Jacob was made to be a prince with Yah, what did that mean? What does that mean? You know, yeah, we read over stuff. We really do read over stuff, and we don't take this stuff serious. We really do. We read over it. It's like, wow. So I just want to bring that out. I'm just basically trying to make conversation, because I really don't want to do a whole nother Bible class, but at the end of the day, you know, we spend a lot of time in that word. And I think that that's an excellent thing, to be around people who like the word of Yah. Because everybody don't read the Bible like we do. They really don't. Anybody, when you ready, please feel free to push one, so we can conversate together, because I really don't want to talk to myself for a whole hour and a half. You know, Brother Uriah, Brother Yerushalayim, Sister Afion, y'all push one, so I'm not talking to myself. Praise y'all. Anybody out there? I'm gonna let the audience know. They here. They just like to listen. They be on listen mode. They definitely here, you know. So I just want to say that, you know, and just get everybody prepared. Hold on a minute. I'm going to see what else is going on in the world. Maybe we can deal with current events, you know. But what about that? We was talking about the $450,000 per person. They're talking about giving to those kids that was locked up. You know, it's just something. Really is. Okay, let's do this one. Here we go. Let's try this.
New York City's COVID vaccine mandate for municipal workers kicked in. Unions for the nation's largest fire department warned of the potential for closed firehouses and longer emergency response times.
New York City is going to come to a crisis on Monday morning.
Earlier today, the city said just 67% of its firefighters have received at least one dose. Those who don't get the shot face unpaid leave starting Monday. Tonight, six firefighters have been suspended for driving a ladder truck while on duty to a state senator's office and allegedly threatening the senator's staff over the COVID vaccine mandate. From coast to coast, more showdowns over shots. Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva is calling his area's COVID vaccine mandate an imminent threat to public safety, saying it's causing a mass exodus within his department. Also in California, popular burger chain In-N-Out just shut down more restaurants rather than comply with mandates.
I can see where they're coming from, that it's not their job to, as they put it, be vaccine police.
Today, 10 states filed a new lawsuit against the Biden administration's vaccine requirement for federal contractors. Iowa's governor signed a new law allowing workers fired for noncompliance with COVID vaccine mandates to receive unemployment benefits. And next Tuesday, a new deadline for the Air Force. Up to 12,000 personnel have rejected orders to get fully vaccinated despite a Pentagon mandate. Still, the vast majority of active duty airmen, more than 96%, are at least partially vaccinated. And tonight, word that the U.S. Supreme Court won't block a COVID vaccine mandate for healthcare workers in Maine. Back in New York City, officials say the last-minute push is working. The NYPD now reporting more than 80% compliance, up from 70% last week.
I think we're heading in the right direction.
And with the rise in vaccinations and the fading Delta variant, some encouraging news. New York City just reported a COVID test positivity rate of less than 1%.
All right,
thanks for watching.
I got my own. I'm going to shut up. Shut up, Yaina. I ain't saying nothing. What I'm hearing, hold on, area code 214, your mic is open, you're on the air.
Yes, you mentioned two things that I actually wanted to talk about. One was the reparations, possible reparations that were going to be paid. But I have a second thing as well. And the second thing is this. I'm conflicted regarding how we're supposed to honor the father and also acknowledge the son. So, and the reason I say that is because it still seems to me that even in Israel, there's a lot of emphasis put on the son as opposed to the father. And I've been struggling with this for some time. A lot of times it just kind of fades into the background. But even so, for me, it's still an issue because I do not want to put anything above the father because he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I was listening, I often listen to the service of the church that I was raised in. So I was listening today and they're singing, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I know that a lot of times I listen to Israelites and they're saying, I'm a Christian Israelite, and there's a whole debate that has gone on. But often it seems to default to we start focusing on the Messiah mm-hmm. Messiah. And even yesterday, after we got off the class, I remember I had said some things, and I thought about it, and I thought, man, I don't feel at ease because we're talking about the Messiah. I had said that he had a people, possibly, and we were talking about the devil had children, and he came back for the one-third and his people. And I'm thinking, where is the father in this? We're defaulting to that emphasis on the son again. And so this is a real issue for me because I don't want to do a disservice to the Messiah. I certainly do not want to in any way do a disservice to the father. And so I'm struggling to a certain extent because by default, the way that I was raised, I default back to the Messiah. And as I was listening to them singing, sitting at the feet of Jesus, I was thinking, man, how is this really different from what I was saying yesterday when the emphasis was on the Messiah and what he was going to do? And I'm really not talking about the Father or thinking about the Father. And so that is an ongoing dilemma for me. And struggle.
And that's fair. I mean, that's fair. It's normal to go through that. And, you know, when I went through that struggle, because I did too, I had to understand, just like in government, there's protocol. And there is a hierarchy. Just like you have in any royal family. So, you know, Yah is always the father. He's the boss. You know, but when you start dealing with Israel, and see, this is when the Godhead is going to get real interesting, because when you start dealing with Israel and the house of Israel, that's where he comes in. That's where the Messiah comes in for me, because only Israel can redeem his own house. And he did that through the shedding of the blood for the remission of sin according to the scripture. So when I see Yahushua, I see Israel. Because only he can come and redeem his own house. And because the Father is who he is, and he is in control of all, that is the way the protocol is set. And we have to follow the protocol. Now, everybody doesn't believe that. And it's a lot of people that don't believe that Yahawashi or Yisrael or none of that stuff even exists, and they're still waiting on the Messiah to come. You know, but as far as the ones of us that do believe that, the protocol doesn't change. And he never left the Father out, but I will definitely, for your benefit, one day I will teach a class for that so that we can show the protocol, because that's all a part of the Godhead, really, to be honest with you. If you just hang in for a little while, I'll be able to show you how that hierarchy is and how that exists. Because yesterday was profound to the point where we really stepped up, went into a whole nother level yesterday to be able to understand, you know, and even the scripture that we read 5 or 6 times went over our head, you know, because there's still some things in that scripture that we missed that we didn't understand. But that's the whole controversy in whether the Messiah exists, whether he real or not, because You know, that whole man turning into God, that whole how can a man be a God and we not supposed to worship no other God and all that, that's that whole thing. But when you lay the foundation that we are the gods, having a human experience on our way back to immortality, because that's what it's all about, then you have people that don't believe that. They just believe Israel going to gather itself back together, and Israel going to go back to the promised land, and we're going to set up our kingdom, and we're going to have our government going to be set back up again, and we're going to go right back to the way we was when David was ruling on the throne. And it'll be a king, and it'll be Yah at the head of the father, and then we'll just run our little community, and that's what they believe. And that's why I always tell everybody, it doesn't matter, you know, what, I don't argue about the Messiah, and we're not going to do that today. Everybody don't believe in him, and I don't have a problem with that, and we're not going to debate him, because it's something that you have to either, you can't even, see, the thing about this thing over here is, as far as the scriptures is concerned, you can't even come to him unless he calls you. So all that, I want to be a part of the one-third, and I hope I'm in the one-third. That's the house of Israel. So you can't even come unless he calls you. So I don't argue with people about that. I don't. And there's no way that you can offend the Father. You know, because I usually put them both in my prayers, you know, to Yahweh HaMashiach and Yah the Father, we thank you for all things. I include them both. You know, because I'm not, and that was the problem with the scriptures yesterday when he asked them in the scriptures, why do you want to stone me? What work have I done that allowed you to want to stone me? And they said specifically, it's not any work that you've done. It's the blasphemy that came out of your mouth when you, being a man, tried to make yourself God. And that's been the whole big old issue, is how can man be God? How can man be a God? But if you go all the way back to the garden, and you go all the way back to Adam and Eve, they were God starting out. They man and female, male and female, were like Yah. He made them in his likeness and his image. He gave them dominion. He gave them power. He gave them all of those things, and that's what they were. It was only when they sinned and they broke his commandment that death came on the scene, and then they became human. So that's been the whole big old issue. Well, how can we worship other gods? And how can this, the same way that you, how can man be God? The same way you're on your way to being immortal, if that's what you believe. Now, if you don't believe that, and you believe we just going back to Israel to set up a kingdom, and when you die, you dead, that's what you choose to believe.
I have no problem with that, because I see it in the strict scriptures. And the thing that I really appreciate is going over the scriptures. And also I think about when the Messiah said, this is how we should pray, our Father. And so it's not, the focus should not be on him. The focus wasn't on him then. But so often what I find is, as I said, the default is the Messiah. And I was listening to someone yesterday, and she really made me think. Because she said that in the Old Testament, down to the Old Testament, every time Israel was delivered, it was because the Father delivered. It wasn't the Messiah. And I understand that we're here on earth, but they were too. And so I said, there's something here that I absolutely must study. And that's the thing I need to really try and make sure that I – it's a fight to set aside the time. You know, that's part of the thing. At least me, I'm consumed with things that just take up my time. So that I don't get to the weightier things, which is really understanding what it is that I'm kind of grappling with when I come back to this issue. And so I understand. I have no problem with us being gods. I understood that. I understood that we started in the kingdom, and I could see that in the scriptures. I understand that we will again return to that godlike status, and that we have it within us at this point. It just hasn't manifested because the time is not yet. I see that in the scriptures. But the thing that I grapple with, as I said, is that the emphasis always seems to default to, if we don't, at least for me, if I don't watch it, my focus is on the Messiah, and the Father is not there. The times that I focus on the Father tend to be those times when I'm in trouble. I really don't pray to the Messiah. I'm always, and I think about this in times past, it's always been the Father. That's who it, my focus is. So maybe it is that the Messiah is the one who is the, has the salvation, and that he shows us the way back to the Father. But for me, it's always the Father. And yet, when I talk, and a lot of times in just in my everyday life, if I'm just, I'm thinking, I'm singing the songs, I'm thinking, oh, it's, you know, and it always is, I'm talking about the Messiah, and I'm thinking, but wait a minute. Even he said, this is how we should be praying, our Father. And even he, when he was on the cross, said, my Father. And I said, Father, I think I have an issue here, because I think that what I'm doing is incorrect. It's about you. And when you said, I'll have no other gods before you, that was it. And the thing is, even if we all are gods, as he said, ye are gods, he's a god. He does not come before the Messiah, the Father. And yet, at least for me, I often find that by default, that's what's happening. And she says, if we're still clinging to that, this person that I was listening to who really provoked me to thought, she says, if we're still clinging to that, then we are still caught up in the bondage that we were in before we found out that we were Israel. I really want to explore that more, because the thing that I want is, above all else, is to make sure that I get this right. When he says, I want you, no other gods before me, I want to make sure that I am actually conforming to what it is he says that we should conform to, because that's obedience. That's the commandment. Thou should have no other gods before me. So if for some reason, for me at least, that is happening, that I am putting the Messiah before him, I am making him a god before the Father. That's my issue, and that's what I am really grappling with, at least for myself.
No, but let me say this, and I really want you to listen to me very carefully.
I am. I'm listening.
Whatever you're struggling with when it comes to the Father and the Son, my advice to you is pray. Because I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people out there that don't believe in Yahweh Shai. There's a lot of Israelites out there that don't believe in him. And they bring that argument up all the time. Well, he said, don't have no other God before him, so how are you worshiping him? You know, and I don't understand why y'all call it on his name. And that sounds like a person that doesn't believe in the New Testament at all. So my thing to you is, let me just say this. My thing to you is to continue to pray. If you feel like that in your prayers, call on Yah. Just don't lose the fact that somebody gave their life for you. So as long as you can handle that part of it, call on Yah, because I call on Yah all the time. I don't have, and there's no discrepancy with me between the two. But I'm going to tell you something. There was a brother here that spent his life going around the country turning people against the Messiah. This is what he did. He went through the scriptures and found scriptures to make people second guess what they believed. Now, my thing is this. Nobody should ever be able to turn you against him. Not no man breathing anyway. Whether you understand it all or not, my advice to you, and I'm saying this from the bottom of my heart, is pray. Steer away from those people that make you second guess whether you're doing it right, because 9 times out of 10, they don't believe in the Messiah at all. And they use that same argument that they have always used to try to turn people against the Messiah. And they can't see it, because just like he said yesterday, the reason why you can't see it is because you're not mine. You're none of mine. They're not going to ever be able
to. For me, that's not the issue. It's not even an issue of, because that is just that's a fundamental belief. I think for me, it's a matter of, just as we spoke of the Godhead, each member of the Godhead has a specific function. For me and my understanding, the Father brings things into existence. His female counterpart, she's the one that brings it to fruition. And then we have the Son, who has his mission. He came back to redeem those that were lost. I understand that clearly. To me, that is very clear in the scripture, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But the thing is, I also believe there's a hierarchy. I believe
it is.
There is a hierarchy, and the thing that I want to do is make sure that in the way that I live out my life and the way that I think, the way that I pray, just the things that that I go to by default, that I keep, that I am consistent with what it is that the scriptures say that I should, the way that I should be thinking. And what Christianity has done is it has taught us to put things out of order. And the thing that I want is I want things to be in order. I want things to be as they should be according to the scriptures. And so for me, I just find so often I default back.
That's the easy fix, then pray to Yah. If that's how you feel it, feel like that, lead your prayers off with Yah, call on Yah. You can't lose one way or the other. So
I correct myself when I come to it, when I think about it. But then, I think the thing that I don't have is, as I said, I just have not put in the time that I really need to put in, because a lot of times it'll be something that comes, I'll think, what? Now, what is it that I'm doing, and why am I doing this? And then I stop in that moment, and I'll give it some thought. But I appreciate the fact that you said that you will do a study, because I will certainly do that, and it's been very helpful, because often when I don't have the time to do anything else, I do have the time to stop and listen to the classes and go through the scriptures, and it's been very, very, very beneficial. But, yeah, this is something that has been an issue for me.
All right, well, let me open up some more mics. But like I said, that's an easy fix. All you got to do is call on Yah when you pray. If that makes you like that's giving him the reverence that he deserves, he is the Father. Call on Yah, because I do all the time. And I have no issue with that. That's not a slight to Yahushua, because I know that they're one. They think they're one in the way they think, the unison of everything. And I don't expect the world to understand that. I really don't care whether they understand it or not, because this is what I choose to believe. He did not birth me in the earth to be able to get somebody else to believe in him. That's not how this works. He said, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. So if you don't hear it, you're none of his. There's nothing we can do to make you see it. You cannot come unless you called. So that ends that for me. And I don't mean to sound rude or mean or anything, because I love all of Israel, but I wasn't born to convince you that the Messiah is real, or that he existed, or that he is who he say he is. And I'm not talking about you particularly. I'm just talking about those who don't believe in general, because that's why you hear, I'll be with y'all in 1 minute, that's why you hear, Vashem HaMashiach Yahavashah. They go through all of that so that they can emphasize the fact that Yahushua is who they worship along with Yah. I don't have to go through those issues. I don't have to do all of that, because the Most High knows what I believe and who I believe. But that's why you hear that all the time from the side that believe in Yahushua. They emphasize that Bashem HaMashiach Yahushua. Bashem HaMashiach. They say that all the time. And that's supposed to be a separation between these over here and these over here. And it really doesn't matter. Because the ones that belong to him have already been chosen. No, you can't change their mind. You can't add anything to it. You can't make nobody be a part of it. And the ones over here have already been chosen. So it's the fact that, he knows those that belong to him. And I don't have to go through all of that, because I know I'm his. So I don't even deal with all that. But as a nation, we are one people. When we came here on the ship, they did not separate us and say, do you believe in the New Testament? You believe in the Old Testament? We were all considered the tribe of Judah, and we were all put in captivity at the same time. We came together, we leave together. Now, once we get to where we're going, and the books are open, and the stuff becomes knowledgeable and plain, it could be a whole different story for both sides. But that's not my job. That's not my job.
Yeah, well, it's consistent with scripture. Yeah. That I understand.
I don't engage in debates. I've been in this thing for a long time. I've sat through so many debates on conference calls, and they're boring, to be honest with you. They're boring because they both be like, well, look at this scripture. What this mean? Okay, well, look at my scripture. What this mean? Okay, do you see? It's irrelevant. It don't make sense. And you sitting on these calls hours after hours after hours, saying to them both, what is the point? I can't make you believe in this, and you can't make me not believe in this. So I don't engage. Hold on, let me open the mic. Area code 513, your mic is open. Sister Alfion, you're on the air.
No, I was just listening and commenting on yesterday's scripture and how, you know, we're taking the next level of understanding and understanding that some people will just not get it. I think that's something that we need to accept. Some people won't get it. He said, for those who have little, I will take away, and those who have more, I will give more.
Yeah, yeah.
It's for us.
Go ahead, sis. I'm sorry.
And it's just for us to keep pressing forward and moving forward. Things have shifted. We are in a new situation with COVID and vaccines, and that we have to increase the knowledge and increase what we know, because you know, like I said before, if one person plants the seed, the other one waters, but it's Yah that caused the increase. It's Him that's going to cause the understanding. It is for us to throw the information out there. Everybody's not going to get it.
Right, and it's not for everybody to get. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not for everybody to get, because as far as they're concerned, they believe what they believe is right. And everybody, let me say this again, everybody has a choice to make a choice. One thing I can do and you can do is steal another person's choice. The Most High gave us the ability to choose. And whatever your mind has you believe in, then you have chosen to believe that. So it's not my job to change your choice. But we are family at the end of the day, and we all came from the same brother, from Yehuda, or from Levi, or from Benjamin. We all came from the same three brothers that make up the southern kingdom. So we are family at the end of the day, and we don't fight each other over choice. It's just like I might like greens and you may like green beans. I want cornbread and you want rolls. You have a right to make a choice. That's all I'm saying, and it's not my job to change your choice. And it's not my job to make you feel bad because you didn't choose what I chose. That's wasting time, in my opinion. Area code 337, your mic is open. You're on the air.
I was listening to the sister. I had a verse for her. That's what I mean. That's all right.
Go ahead. What's your verse?
It's Isaiah 44:6.
What does it say?
That's a redeemer.
Say that again. What does it say?
The Redeemer in Isaiah 44:6.
Okay, Isaiah 44:6, sis, that's the scripture that he has for you to read. Thank you, brother. I appreciate your comment. All right, area code 540, your mic is open. You're on the air.
When we think about how long we have been going through the curse, and the fact that we were separated from our Elohim because of our disobedience, I know for myself, and I've spoken to many others, we are not ready to go before the Father. So this millennium period, we will be learning and preparing and changing our character so that when the city comes down, with Yah, we will be more than ready. It is for Yahshua to prepare his people first. Then we unite with the other, what I say, two-thirds that are there in the kingdom. Because we're not ready. That's how I see it.
That's how she see it. And you know what? That's her belief. And that's how we say it. Everybody has a right to believe what they believe. Hold on. Area code 330. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. Is this Bianchi?
No.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say something. So I pray to God constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So when I end my prayers, I always send them the word of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And it's always worked for me because I consider them one.
Right.
So what I'm going to tell you is I've heard him three times. He said something to me three times when I was in despair. So it's all real, and I don't look at them in it because that's not what he said. That's what I wanted to tell you, and then I'll just sit here and listen.
All right. I appreciate that. So, you know, everybody is different. It's like when we was coming home from my father's funeral. And my sister is she's a preacher. She is, and we were getting ready to do something. And
how long have you been away?
My phone.
Yeah.
We were praying, and, you know, we were coming through bad weather, and we were beginning to pray. And she was being sarcastic, but she was like, "We don't want you to pray. Your prayers don't work." And I said, "Excuse me?" Because she's still in Christianity and she prayed to Jesus. You know, we kind of laugh like, how dare you talk about my prayers don't work. Yours don't work either, you know. But it was hilarious and it was funny. You know, and we have to really be able to have that kind of humor when it comes to this. Because this is the thing, sis, that has tore us apart as a nation. It has tore us apart as a nation, as a people. It has tore us apart. You know, and we got to get past this so we can move like a nation. So, you know, like I said, it's going to be there. You're going to deal with it. And we're going to the Most High is going to help you to deal with it. But this whole, Bashemah Mashiach Yahawashah, you know, it's like, okay, we get it. We understand that that's what you believe in. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, but it's like, if that's what you feel like you need to do, that's fine. I don't say all that. And some people have come against me and said, you don't recognize Yahweh Shah enough for us. And I love the Most High. So I don't have to do all that. He knows who I love. I call on Yah. It doesn't matter to me who it is. Because to me, they won. Whether it's him or him, they still won. So I just call on him. And I don't love either one of them any less. So, you know, I've been ridiculed for that too. Y'all ain't you don't call on your house. You don't make your stance known as to which side you on. I'm not going through all them changes with these people. Because the Most High know my heart. And I love everybody. I'm not getting ready to be mad. It's their whole families apart. This stuff right here. No. You know, it's got to be love. Love has to be the foundation of it all. Because we ain't going to never have all the answers. Don't nobody have all the answers. And we all still in the same captivity, whether you calling on Yah or whether you calling on Yahawashah, we still all in the same captivity waiting for the same thing to be delivered. Real talk. Area code 54, I'm reopening up your... And we waiting to be delivered. And when we read that scripture where he said he was not going to leave one in this land, in these lands, evidently it didn't matter whether you was whether you believed in him or not. We came together, we leave together. You know, so those are the things that are important. Those are the things that we have to make sure that we, and when you can free yourself from that kind of stuff, you are really, truly free. I can love whether you are Messianic or non-Messianic. We can get together and laugh and talk and eat and have fun and know that we have one thing in common. It's a bloodline, and we are all from the same family. Because if you look today, in my family anyway, we had Rastas. We got Hebrew Israelites. We have Jehovah's Witnesses. We got Christians. We got Muslims. I mean, all through my family. And probably some more stuff I don't know nothing about. But when we all come together, those are not the things that tear us apart. Because at the end of the day, we are blood and we enjoy each other's company. They don't be like, oh, the Rastas be like, oh, I can't sit with y'all because y'all Israelites. I can't do that. Or I can't sit with them because they're Christians and they don't believe like we. We don't go through all them changes because it's going to be love that's going to take us up out of here. That's the main thing. That's the only thing. You know, the only problem that I have and that I have had with this whole thing is that, you know, everybody's in compliance when we in the Old Testament. We got droves and droves of people. Everybody's studying. But when we go to that New Testament, everybody hang up. And it's like, well, that's not fair. Because we was listening on that side. Why you can't listen on this side? Even if you disagree. But I don't push the issue. Because like I said, that's bigger than me. I'm not getting ready to go. I'm not going to do all that. You know, all praises be to the Most High Yah. You know, like I said, I still love everybody. We're going to get here. We're going to get there. You know, we ain't arguing and fighting. People have been fighting and arguing over this stuff for years and separated over this. And guess what? Yah is not the author of confusion. He's not. And it's in his name that we've been hating on each other and all this kind of stuff. It's ridiculous. Oh, no, we don't do that over here. And you know what? They don't like it. Oh, well, love is going to be the flavor for the day. That's just what it's got to be. But at the same time, when we do have our classes and we do talk about Yahweh Shah, we don't expect it to be sabotaged either because that's not love. Love don't do that. Because if we can respect each other when we talking in the Old Testament, we should be able to respect each other if we talking in the New Testament. And if you don't understand it, then just don't say nothing. But don't take time out of the classes that we have to talk up 20 minutes where we got to try to explain something to you that you ain't going to believe no way. And that has caused some people not to be on the class no more. And that is fine. Because we still got to keep moving. And like Sister said, we turned a corner. We have turned a serious corner. You know, so I think it's a very good topic. I'm glad you brought that up. It's some issues that we always have to reiterate all the time and we have to live through all the time. But this has really been some serious, and they'll tell you, that's why we're in the position we was in the first place. Y'all calling on other gods. No, we're in the position that we was in because our ancestors went and served other gods of other nations. That's why we're in the position that we're in. We went to serve all them other gods from them other nations. We can't pray with y'all because y'all be calling them. Well, then don't pray with us. We can all call on y'all. It don't make no difference. Ridiculous. It's ridiculous, man. I'm telling you, it's ridiculous. And it has caused a serious rift in our people. It has. It really has. You know, and the devil don't have to do nothing. All he got to do is sit back and laugh because he watching it all and laughing like, I ain't got to do nothing to them. They gonna implode from the inside out. I ain't got to worry about them. They ain't going to never come together. We ain't never got to worry about them people because they're going to always be fighting among each other. So they laughing at us because like we some sort of joke or something. It's ridiculous. No. Just like I heard a group the other Sabbath, yes, this past Sabbath, sitting here listening to YouTube, and they was teaching, so I wanted to hear something that had something to do with Israel. And this brother, been around for a long time, I ain't going to call no names, quoted a scripture and completely quoted it wrong and left some parts out. And he said, this is why there's a problem in Israel, because the scriptures say that, I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read to you what he said. I'm going to read it to you how he said it. Let me pull it up. And I set up like, that ain't what that scripture say. And the way he quoted it was vindictive, and it was wrong. And I said, oh. He said, the reason why we are in the situation that we is in, that we're in today, is because the family structure is out of order. And the Bible said, a new thing in the earth, a woman shall encompass a man. And that's the problem we're going through today, is because the women are taking over from the men. And I sat up in the bed. I said, whoa, bruh, don't do that. Because I started to call him. And I was like, don't do that. I said, because that's not what the scripture says. Don't ever do that. So I'm going to tell you what the scripture is. It's Jeremiah 31:22, and it says, how long wilt thou go about, O backsliding daughter? For the Most High hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. He left the whole part out about the Most High. And I was like, oh, see, that's dirty. So if you're going to quote, don't do that. Because we know the scriptures. So it's all kind of stuff. When we finally get it right, we're going to be a hell of a nation. When we can put this dumb stuff down and do what we're supposed to do, there will be no stopping us. But as long as you got these folks out here throwing shade, trying to be nasty, trying to hate each other, we're going to always be separated and apart. And until they figure it out, it's going to always be the same. It's going to always be the same. I sat up like, no, you didn't. But for somebody who don't know the scriptures, that's just listening to what he say, guess what? They rolled off like, yeah, man, that's right. That's the problem. Yeah, that's it. Because they put the women before the men. Yes, they did. I agree with you 100%. That was the strategy. That was the strategy, because you can't have two men of different cultures ruling. So it was the Gentiles man's turn to rule, and in order for them to do that, they had to put the black man under subjugation, and instead of promoting the black man, they promoted the black woman. I agree with you 100%. But look at the flip side of that, because it was us that made sure the family stayed together. That big black mama made sure you ate. And it broke her down in the process. But she made sure that you ate and you had somewhere to sleep. And even though they gave us the jobs, because I'm going to talk from a black woman's point of view, even though they gave us the jobs and they set us out there, no, we weren't supposed to be able to lead the family like we did. But guess what? The Most High fixed it where somebody was able to. And did it break us down? You best believe it did. You better believe it did. Did it separate the family? You best believe it did. Because our shoulders wasn't fit to be able to hold all that together, but he made sure it did. He made sure it happened. And then they have the nerve to look at us like we ain't soft enough. Or y'all ain't soft enough. Y'all don't act like the women of the other nations. Y'all look too rough. Let us tell you the story, because we can tell you better than most, because we did it. And we had to watch our own men not being able. You know, we talk about this in the women's call. I told the women on the class. I said, I remember my father used to come home and cry. He worked at General Motors. He used to come home and literally cry because of the shit he had to go through on his job with them folks. But guess what? He knew he had to go back every day because he had to feed his family. So we know they dug in on you. Every chance they got, they dug in on you. We know that. That's what they do. Because it can only be one man on top. He cried. They used to scratch up his cars. He bought this old, I'm telling you, this car was so old, I don't even think they made them no more. I don't even know what the name of the car was. It was so old. And he used to park it, drive that little old car to work every day. Rickety-rackety, rickety-rackety-rackety-rackety. I mean, he drove it every day. Because in his mind, as long as he looked like he didn't have nothing, they would leave him alone. Now, when he came home and the drive and the garage went up, he had a brand new Mark V sitting up in there, spiffed out back in the day. But when he went to work, that car was so old, I don't even know what the name of it was. But it's a shame we had to do that. So, no, it ain't been fair, but it ain't been fair for us either. It ain't been easy for us either. Because we were never designed to do that by ourselves. We was never designed to live like that by ourselves and carry all of that by ourselves. So, you know, it's a flip side to all of this. You know, and guess what? They can't get past that part because they still have a resentment of the fact that we was the ones put on top. That's another thing holding us back as a nation. If we ever get it together, y'all, if we ever get it together, we will be a hell of a people. No, we just will be. We really will be. I ain't even ran on like that, but it's just real. Those are the things that we deal with over here. You know, and it's like, why? And it was a blessing to see black men on the corner with a Bible in their hand preaching. And I'm like, what is this? I mean, I remember when I first seen it, I was like, what is this? You know, these brothers on the street corner preaching, they don't have no drugs, they don't have no guns, they got that Bible in their hand. But when they opened up their mouth, the other stuff spewed out too. It spewed out too. It's ridiculous. So we can fix this. This can be fixed. It hasn't changed any because as long as we in this captivity and they're in charge because this is the Gentiles' reign, no, it's not going to be no black men running nothing, not openly and outwardly. It's not. And we interviewed on the women's call, we interviewed black men from all walks of life, and they all said the same thing. We interviewed Christians. We interviewed Hebrew Israelite brothers. We interviewed street guys. We interviewed people from men from all walks of life. And they said the same thing. The struggle is real. Educated brothers. CEO material. I just, they trying to push us. I had to let them know I got a seat at the table too. I'm supposed to be at the table too. It's always that struggle. I'm supposed to be there. I got a right to be there. It's like, wow, this is just a serious business. And it's the same with us. The same with us. I'm gonna say something, and I ain't going to call no names. But I saw a picture on the internet of a black man and his wife. I was so let down by that picture. Because these are supposed to be two very prominent people. And this black man is very prominent in the community. And what I saw, it just broke me up so bad. Because, you know, I'm going to say something to the black women. And I know I don't have to say this to Israel. But come on, girls. Come on, look. They already got us out there looking like hoes and bitches. Our men already calling us all kind of bitches and hoes. Every time you turn around, we got our ass hiked up on somebody's picture, our legs pulled out for everybody to see. And you know what? It's time now for that. It's getting raunchier and raunchier and raunchier. And this was an older lady. She was in her 50s. And when I saw the picture, I was so let down. I said, wow. Really? Those are the things that we have to deal with. Because guess what? That big black mama struggled to feed her family. She struggled to do whatever. Hands all broke up, nails, knuckles all messed up because she was cleaning somebody's house and wiping somebody's ass to make sure that we had enough food on the table. And then when we finally get to the point where we can halfway do something, this is how you represent us? This is what you look like? You got all this money and all this stuff and all these houses and you all over TV and you do us like that? It was disgraceful. So that's what we have to deal with as black women, because that's how they portray us on TV. That's what they do to us on television. So it ain't easy all the way around. It's not. And then we constantly trying to raise our daughters and telling our daughters, you know, baby, class is something that can't be bought. You don't have to be naked in order for you to get attention. You can still wear clothes and they'll still see you if they need to see you. And then you got older women standing up with no clothes on. The Bible said that the older women are supposed to teach the younger women. The enemy has our nation by the throat. And these are the things that we deal with every day. I was so disappointed. I said I wasn't going to say nothing, but I'm going to say that. I was so disappointed. And he was just standing there with a just proud. And I just looked like, really, though? Really? I was so disappointed. Well, we got to do better. You know, and I'm sure that, you know, their PR people told them we got to clean this up because they didn't get the response that they thought they was going to get. But, you know, once it's out there forever. It's out there forever. We got to understand what our ancestors went through. Our mothers and sisters was raped. They was raped in front of their husbands, in front of their children. Hung on a tree. That's real. And then we finally get to the point where the Most High shows us He becomes a little sanctuary, and he eases up some of the torment from us, and I don't know what it is. Now everybody want to be naked. It's like, what's going on? And it ain't nothing wrong with it. Everybody looks at you like, what's wrong with you? She ain't showing nothing but some nipples. Is you like, excuse me? So when do we do that? When does that start happening? I don't know. And believe me, when I say brothers and brothers, we trying. We trying with everything we have. We are trying. But when you dealing with that kind of stuff, it's rough. The devil is busy, and he don't have to worry about us because the ones that don't know who they are, I don't know what they trying to do. And the ones that do know who they are, they struggling because they tired of being by themselves. It's just a mess. He ain't got to worry about messing with us because they laughing at us. They like, man, please. Who? The Israelites? Right? Okay. They all come together to pray and do what? Win. I want to see that. So it is a struggle. Believe me, this nation stuff, this ain't no joke. It's bigger than trying to get somebody to believe in your house shack. That's the last thing in the world. It's so way more stuff going on than that. It is. You know, and like I said, I wasn't going to bring that up, but I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed when I saw that. I said, wow. Really? Really, sis? And this is a very prominent couple. and I ain't going to say no names, but I was really disappointed in him and her. Really? No, and you try to be an example. You do. You try your best to be an example. Be positive. And excuse my language today, but sometimes that's how they see us. You know, and it's everybody seems to forget what we had to go through as a people just to be treated like we was human beings. And it's like, well, woo-hoo, let's let it all hang out. We can just, you know, that's how the devil do. You might not be naked coming in, but I guarantee you, before it's all over, your clothes going to be off. We ain't going to be off. And a man don't need to do that for him to see whether or not he like you or not. They know how to do all that. You know, but there's just not, there's nobody teaching anything anymore. No women are coming up and saying, baby, put some clothes on. You don't have to do all that. Just be, come on now. It's just going from bad to worse, in my opinion. And I'm just one person in the world. My opinion may not matter. You know, and then you have the other extreme where you got women in other countries can't show their eyes. They cut one lady head off because she played volleyball on school. It's just all, and that's that enmity that the Most High said, I'm going to put hatred between you and that woman. Woo! It's rough being a girl. I mean, it's rough. Like, jeez. You know, but it is what it is. I wouldn't want to be anything else. And not even Israelite. I love being an Israelite black woman. I do. But it's a lot going on with us brothers. We dealing with every day, just like you guys are. It's not easy. It's not easy. You know, and then we have what they consider role models on TV because our kids watching this stuff. And every time we turn around, we got to deprogram them from some mess they done seen on TV. You know? So I don't know. Like I said, that didn't have to be. That wasn't supposed to be. That should have never been. But they did it. Those two people did it. And it just was, that was so disappointing. It really was. All the church and all the stuff you done did and all it just went out the window. It went completely out the window. It really did. You know, you don't realize how many people are listening, how many people watching you, the importance that you have. You know, and it's all it takes is one bad turn and it goes out the window. That's like me standing up on TV for the first time, and nobody has ever seen me other than the people that came with us to Washington, D.C., and I have on an outfit, and you can see through my clothes. And I don't have no underwear on under. Y'all would look like, what the hell? What in the world is that guy in? I mean, it was just like that. It was. It was just that bad. And you would look like, oh, no, I ain't going to be able to do that no more. Are you serious? All the stuff you've said over the radio all the years and all the things we talked about, and this is the one time the world see you and you look like this? I don't know. So like I said, it's bigger fish to fry than Yahushua HaMashiach and the Father. Either you believe in him or you don't. If you don't believe in him, don't worry about it. If you do believe in him and you want to call on the Father. But call on somebody. Because we need some help. For real. I'm serious. We need some help. It's gone past anything you could ever begin to imagine. Yeah. Jesus called somebody. Because it ain't working.
Like I said, my default is the Father, but I'm listening to you. And I there's something that you said to me that's really important, and that is that when whoever this was did what they did, the reaction was not what they expected. And
no.
This is what's needed. We need somebody to stand up when people are doing things. When I see Nicki Minaj, there needs to be pushback. When I see the woman who went parading naked, I think she's so pretty. And I think, but why? And it's because she has not been taught to value who she is intrinsically. I can't remember her name. But, yeah, she went somewhere, and she was basically naked, you know, some party or something.
And
people don't push back. Well,
I ain't even going to call the name. I was so shocked. I was shocked.
Oh, but that's the thing. It's not just one person. It's there needs to be a pushback. People need to say, no, that's not what we do. That's what I was told in our family. Oh, no, that's not what we do. And I realized that's true. I looked around. That is not what we do. People conform to a certain type of behavior when they know that that is the behavior that's appropriate for them. But there's something that's going on in this country. When people are talking about this critical race theory, it's not so much about the theory itself. It's an attempt to divorce people from history. And the reason that things have happened to us is because we have been divorced from our history. There's been a concerted effort to divorce us from our knowledge of who we were as a people, who our God is, how we are to serve him, how we are to conduct ourselves daily. And because we don't know that, all of this stuff is happening, but people need to know, even if they don't know they're Israel, they need to know. We don't do this. If you're going to be considered to be a person who has class, we don't do this. Because it used to be that people, my brother told me something that I didn't know. He said that there were people that my mother would not let come in the house. I never knew that. But some of his friends would come to the door, and they had to stay at the door. She would not let them in the house where we were. And he's the youngest in the family. He told me that as an adult because she said, oh, no. And she used to tell me, lie down with dogs, come up with fleas, because she had standards. We as a people need to have this as a part of our ethos. There are some things that we don't do. There needs to start being a concerted effort where people say, oh, no. Even if it's just going online and saying, no, this is not what we're doing. But there has been a real push to try and make everything acceptable and blur the line. So, and in doing that, it's like we're divorced from who we are. What is our history as a people? We've always tried to preserve our integrity, preserve our sense of self, preserve our family. And now because people are just being told that anything goes, they don't know who they are. I just saw an article online where this guy walked into a school, a student walked into a school dressed in a Klan uniform. He went to four periods before anything was done to him. And there were kids standing around taking pictures, and some of those kids were Israelites. They don't know their history. They just think, oh, this is a good photo opportunity. But it permeates every aspect of who we are when we let things go. You let one little thing go, and then something else doesn't seem so bad because look, what happened over there? Nobody said anything. I guess this is okay. And everybody thinks this is okay. This is not okay. I think there are a lot of people who would much rather not do what they're doing if they felt that they had some kind of support. But they think, well, you know what? Everybody else is doing it. If I don't do it, I'm going to be the person who seems crazy. I heard said something, when everybody's running toward a fire and you're running away from it, you're the person who looks crazy. But hey, we need to have really some type of, even if it's individual, I'm trying to think, what can I do? I feel very disempowered, but there's something that can be done. And so when you said that,
I hope so, sis. I'm like I said, this is a 50-year-old woman. She was 50 years old. She is 50 plus, you know, and it just was, wow. So it's a lot. Like I said, we got a lot of work to do. You know, even in Israel, the same with Israel. And we got a lot of work to do. We got to get past all of the resentment toward each other and start working together and building this nation and supporting one another and praying together. You know, whatever we choose to do and how we need to do that. Because this is, you know, if it keeps going like this, they're going to be walking around within the nude in a minute. I mean, I'm serious. I'm like, wow. You know, I just was like, wow, really? You know, but, I mean, who am I? You know, then they got something smart to say always, you know, and everybody got some push, they got some words to give. But see, when you out there in the public like you are, and you make certain statements and you try to be a leader, especially among our people, and you try to guide our young women, you know, and especially choosing the right partner, and you do all the things that you say you do, and then you turn around and do that, they tear down everything you've ever said. Kill it. That's like I said, that's like me showing up with a stank dress on, too tight and everything showing. Y'all would look at me like, did you see that? They would put that up on YouTube. It'd be on YouTube, plastered, all this is Yaina Yisrael. And you know, and you're like, what? And immediately they would say, oh, you don't represent us at all under no circumstances. Because we don't do that. It was terrible. It was there. You know, and it's like, wow. So, I mean, you know, it's a lesson learned.
That's why it shouldn't be on one person. Remember when Israel was waking up and we said they can't stop Israel because there's no leader? It shouldn't be that one person stand alone. It should be that it's coming from so many different points that you cannot squash it. Otherwise, it won't succeed because I certainly don't want to be a leader. I have no aspirations to be a leader. But I am certainly willing to
act. When you look at the people outside of the world that are out there, you know, society makes you into this icon. You know, whether you're wealthy, whether you're on television or whatever you choose to do, they create these couples and make these people icons, not so much for us, but when you talk about our children and the influence that it has on them, you know, this is what they do. So when you see, this is all you see, and it's glaring at you like, woo. And, you know, they picked up the mantle, you know, and they've gone. And like I said, starting out giving advice and trying to steer people in the right direction, and then you turn around, and it's like, wait a minute, whoa. And it's like the record scratch, like, what? And you're looking like, what in the world? But, I mean, like I said, we have a lot of work to do. Have a lot of work to do on ourselves. And some people are like, well, them people, the devil anyway, it doesn't matter. We're talking about the influence that it has on our own children. Because I got some nieces and stuff that's imitating Nicki Minaj and the stuff. I'm like, girl, I don't know. Well, guess what? I think that, you know, we have a lot of work. We can't do it today. It's just a lot today. But those are the things that we deal with in terms of our nation and our people. And we have to do damage control each time we deal with that. Of what our children see the other people doing, we have to go back behind them and do damage control and say, no, Israel, don't do that. You know, even though you're not fully conscious and you're one of our nieces and nephews or our grandchildren, our granddaughter, we don't do that. So, you know, we can't do what everybody else do. You can't do what you see everybody else do. Because we're held at a higher standard than that. We don't do that. And, you know, and it's always going back playing damage control. You know, it's like, let's reel this back. Let's talk because we don't do this. You know, so that's the mental gymnastics that we have to play with our young people and our daughters and our nieces, and you know, let them know, no, we don't do that kind of stuff over here. You don't have to be naked to get the attention you need. And if you got to walk around naked, half naked to get the attention you need, it's something going on with you and your self-esteem. Because you don't have to never be naked to get the attention that you need, that you desire. Something else is wrong. You know, but we have to, you know, like I said, that not so much of what they do because, you know, my thing is, you know, if that's your man and he's standing with you like that, that say a whole hell of a lot. That say a whole hell of a lot to me coming from where I came from, you know, but that's y'all. If that's how you do it, that's y'all. But because you're icons and you're out there, now we got to play damage control. We have to go to our children and say, don't you ever. I don't care who you are, what they give you, and what they offer. Make sure you name the price because when it get too high, you got to be able to walk away from it because all money ain't good money. I don't care where it come from. We don't tolerate that over here. And that's the issue. is to have to constantly play mental gymnastics and do damage control. We spending more time doing damage control than we are making sure that these kids know who y'all is, because the stuff that's put in front of them is influencing them the wrong way, in my opinion. And on that note, guess what? It's 5 o'clock. My daughter has cooked dinner, and I'm going to eat dinner. So I'm going to let everybody say something before we leave, and you guys got the mic. Your mic's open. Brother Leonard, area code 337, your mic is open. What would you like to say before we dismiss?
I mean, Isaiah 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66 tells us that the Most High is going to bring everything back the way it was. So, not for us. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Area code 540, what would you like to say before we dismiss for the night?
I'll say keep praying, never stop, and set the examples so that others would see, just in case some people just were never taught. Don't give up. Just keep praying.
All right. Hallelujah. Area code 513, what would you like to say?
Shalom, family. Just keep praying that we will come together. Yah will stop the confusion among us. And I wish everybody just a wonderful work week.
All right, thank you so much, Sister. To area code 214, your mic is open. What would you like to say to the people before we dismiss?
I send love to everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to speak, and I will read the scriptures that were given. I've already read the Isaiah 44 and 6. Thank you so much.
And to me, I apologize for the language, you know, but you know it's down there, so sometimes I have to come out. I try to be as professional and polite as I can be all the time, but you know, sometimes it is. You know, I do apologize for that. I hope that you'll accept my apology. I do not apologize for my beliefs or my thoughts, you know, but my language I do apologize for today, but I meant what I said. So you guys have a wonderful rest of your evening. I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. Don't forget that we're meeting. All of our classes are the same. The men's call, Brother Yerushalayim, if you on here, if you want to push one, you can give them information about the men's call. The women's call is every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The number is 712-770-4066, and the access code is 154-102-pound. 154-102-pound. Brother Yerushalayim, you want to give them information about the men's call?
Yeah, yes, ma'am. The men's call is every Tuesday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the number for that call is 720-820-1215. 720-820-1215, and there's no access code needed.
Hey, thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. You know, we trying, everybody. We trying to be there as a voice to listen, and I hope you guys is listening to us and you understand where we coming from, because we are queens, kings, princes, and princesses that are in exile, and we have been called everything else but that, and it's just time to come back to that. You know, because, you know, it's just the raunchy stuff. Let me set up. You all have a wonderful rest of your week. Shalom, shalom, everybody, and thank you for joining us today. Good night.